When I first moved to this area, my daughter was 3 and a half and I was looking for a nursery. And I saw Maxilla and I hadn't really looked at too many nurseries before that. When I visited Maxilla, then I decided to take my daughter in there and have a look around and decided quite quickly it's where I wanted her to be. It was a feeling more than what I saw. It was underneath the West Way, first sight. I didn't, you know, apprehensive about what I might see inside. And we went in and the staff were so friendly to greet us and we didn't have to wait around. We got a place quite quickly. When we walked in there, she just ran in there and wanted to play. And they were quite accommodating, even though we were just a visitor. And it seemed like I'd sort of filled out the forms and she'd started really quickly. When I left school, I started the college, which is actually next door to Maxilla. It's not a college now, but it was next door to Maxilla. And I was doing a college course in childcare. And when my daughter started back, when she started nursery, I had found an interest in childcare again. I left childcare when I was 16, 17, due to the fact that I was working in a lot of private nurseries to gain experience and it had put me off. I didn't really enjoy it as much as I thought I would have enjoyed it. I tried several different jobs, been doing building work, hairdressing. When Ella had started nursery in Maxilla, it gave me an opportunity to study again and I wanted to go back into childcare because I'd suddenly found the reason why I started it in the first place, the happiness, the niceness of just the whole ethos of that nursery and how friendly it was. That is the reason why I wanted to do childcare again. They really show that they care about every single child and parents as well. They show that they care about the parents. So I soon started the college course next door to Maxilla. I was able to study and have my child in the nursery next door. A job opportunity came up to apply for the job and I applied for it because I was currently doing my level 2 in the college next door, almost complete, and I got the job after the interview. However, I waited probably 3 to 6 months for passport and all information, and in that time I would drop her and slowly start doing bits and pieces to help out before I started working there. From the minute I walked in the door, it just felt almost homely, friendly, somewhere you feel comfortable being. I remember waiting for both children, when you wait for them to start their first day and you're doing 2 to 3 hours at first. And I didn't feel like I was waiting for a bus in a corridor. I was in the drop-in, having a coffee, chatting to parents. Staff will come and talk to you. Within seconds, you feel like you're somewhere where you're cared about and you're important. We spent a lot of time in that parents' centre. A lot of hot chocolates made by Cassie. We met a lot of mums, which soon became parents of children which I was looking after. I think they felt really reassured knowing that I was a parent first and a teacher after, and working with their children on a regular basis. Just simple conversations: do they eat well? How were they today? Always been able to have that communication there. Was really important for parents, I know, because I was lucky enough to have great key workers with my children, and their communication seems to be the key to everything. They communicate so well. You always got feedback by the key worker every day of what your child's been doing. They have newsletters weekly, which would be handed to you, updates of things that would be going on, what services are available, upcoming events. You'd be greeted by Anne-Marie or Christine in the morning. Every morning there'd be somebody at the door. If you were late, there would be a board which would be letting you know what's going on in the morning. Even, you know, if your child's key worker wasn't in, it would be up on the board so you could prepare them. Quite often, you know, when you're saying to your child, come on, we're going to go to nursery now. At first, they'd be a bit reluctant. They want to sit down and watch CBeebies. Soon, once you mention the key worker's name, they're excited and they want to go to nursery. So if you got to the door, you'd know whether somebody was unwell or at training, and you could quickly rectify and take them to somebody else. we'd be greeting parents in Green Group where their children come and write their name. Quite often parents would support them. We get to talk about their morning, whether from simple things, have they had a poo this morning, to they're able to shape their letter they've been practicing at home. Anything that was going on in their child's life, they would be able to communicate that within that 15 minutes in the morning. So we could settle, you know, every child's needs are different every day, and we get to communicate and know that every day. We'd be able to quickly ask another member of staff to support us if a child's been having a difficult time. Communicate well with the parents, you know, it's so important to have that time to be able to talk to the parents, to know what's going on in their child's life every single day, how they're feeling, what interests them. A child might bring in a leaf that they found, and that leaf may not be important to some people, really important to the child, and we take note of that, and they get to share that in group time. We run very much on child initiated, so we'd ask the children, what songs would you like? It's always what interests them. And
what do you want to learn today? Sebastian still runs on this question to this day, and for me that's what good education is about. What do you want to learn today?
It's really important the learning came from them and their interest. If the rain was really, really mild, we teach them to be resilient and put your hood up and how to prepare for the wet weather or find shade in the garden. We had, you know, two houses, a gazebo, we had plenty of shelter. If the rain came down a bit heavier, so it wasn't safe for them, we were very lucky to have under the Westway, which was covered by the motorway, and we could still have outdoor play and outdoor activities, things that you couldn't do inside, like the big sand and the bikes. Lots of gross motor skills were learnt outside and the climbing. It's something I've never seen in any other nursery. Like I said, I've gained experience in lots of different private nurseries. Some lovely little features in their gardens, but the garden, the space itself, how the surface is not even, and it adds to strengthening them, teaching them how to climb and to build them up. You know, it's not a flat surface garden like all green grass. It's amazing. It has so many different features to it. On a regular basis, we'd be going on a mini beast hunt in the nature garden we had, and Sebastian loved that. He loves nature, lifting up the logs and finding mini beasts and labelling what they are, whether it's be a woodlouse or a ladybird. It stimulates so much conversation with them and where they're comfortable with it. Then we had several climbing walls with the rope for them to climb up. It became a thing where they need to use the climbing ropes to get to the house at the top, where it become the bear's house, the story of the bear, where they used the bear hunt. It's a very, very popular story at most nurseries, and that used to be the bear's house. So they needed to use that climbing, that they would have to use it every day. And there's, within 2 weeks, you'll see a child been able to use these climbing facilities like very, very quickly, and they enjoyed it. We had a sand pit at the back, and sometimes they would be doing cooking activities there and play cooking, sometimes building. I remember when my daughter was there, and Cassie's daughter, a baby bird had fallen out of the tree and had died. At the time, I didn't want my child to know anything about death. It was just something we hadn't spoke about, but it was so lovely and natural the way they had approached the topic. And all the children said, the bird has died. And the staff were asking the children, what shall we do with it? And they sort of, their learning had, that morning had been particularly about the bird that had died and where's its mummy. And they had digged a grave for it. And even now they have a little picture there and a memorial for the bird that had died. Although there had been rumours in the pipeline, you know, it's always been under threat because of funding. It was a big shock, and career-wise, it felt like it stopped my opportunities a little, because I was growing and learning as well as the children. And the community and people I had met, it sort of unrooted all of that and changed all of that. And I think as humans, we don't really adapt to change as well as we probably should. It was such a unique place. From any problem that you had, there was always someone to talk to. And I can honestly say, as a staff member who's worked in different nurseries, I have never worked in a place so professional. Such positive language used to teach parents and staff to teach so positively to children. That word really sticks with me, because, you know, rather than telling our children don't do this, we had learnt how to speak to our children that completely enabled them to make choices for themselves. When it comes half term and things like that, I do get quite fed up. I've been around the local area because they do want nature, and the forest school that they started running there, I started to do my own thing with the girls and bought some tarpaulin and take them over to Putney Bridge and do our own little discovery of nature, and they're so happy when I do that. They're quite uptight because they're older now and they're very conscious of what their peers think. So when we're playing in the local park, it's not the same as if I was to take them out somewhere else. And I think it very much reminds them of the freedom they had in Maxilla.
Do you think Maxilla should reopen?
That is a dream for everybody who has attended Maxilla, because, like I said, it's such a unique place, unique space, unique set of people and the team there, that we don't think we'd have that anywhere else. And we yearn for it like home. If Maxilla could open again, it would bring that community back. And I think that's something we've lost.